We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.
It's Jeremy White.
Joe in the car, first up today.
And Sneaky Joe DiBiase.
Joe, do you want to listen? Joe, are you an idiot? Joe, are you a moron? Joe, do you have ears? Joe, do you know what you're talking about? Joe, can you think?
On WGR Sports Radio 550.
Good morning. Is that the guy complaining to the Patriot station about Ty Montgomery?
Yes.
Okay.
I was going to say, am I allowed to laugh at that if I created it myself? Because every time I hear him scream, Ty Montgomery.
Yeah, I can hear the guy's voice, Ty Montgomery!
Yes.
Like he sounds like a Muppet almost in some ways.
You know, the Bills don't play New England until December 1st.
It's terrible. It's the second straight year, yeah.
And I just looked, actually, just for context, just now to look, you know, how many Sabre games are there until the Bills play the Patriots, because that's how far away it'll be. That'll be game 24 for the Sabres before the Bills play New England. Although, I'm now realizing there is a Sabres home game the same night as Bills at Patriots on that Thursday Night Football.
Oh, okay.
So that's a little weird.
Yeah. Did they play the Bruins before the Patriots? Probably. I would guess 24 games in, you're going to play the Bruins at least once.
They play the Bruins on November 12th, so almost a whole month before that happens. So, yeah, the Sabres will play the Bruins before the Bills play the Patriots. We mentally could probably use a Bills-Patriots game right now.
Just a, tomato can? We're going to look at them like that?
Yeah.
Somebody, you know, to get right and feel good about.
Yeah, because, you know, we're Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase, here on WGR, by the way. Howard Simon, no Wednesdays or Thursdays, of course. 803-0550 is the phone number. And, yeah, I'm curious on like where to start today, because it'll be a transitional day, right? It's Wednesday after a deflating loss, a crazy loss. It's a divisional rival. So I still have a lot of Dolphins questions written down to get to today, and we'll talk Ravens with Sean Stepner coming up at 9 o'clock. So we'll start to talk about the Baltimore game on Sunday a bit, I'm sure, today. But are we trying to figure anything out? Like, are we trying to figure anything out from Sunday? And we'll get to Warren Sharp's piece maybe right here, because Warren Sharp at FoxSports.com wrote an in-depth piece about the Bills on early downs and air yards and whatnot. And I think that's the first time, Jeremy, where I've read something or looked at something that I've taken seriously as, okay, this actually might be a thing.
Basically, that not that the book is out on the Bills, but, again, everything is going to be, well, it's only three games. But Warren Sharp's piece, the long and short of it, is that the teams are forcing the Bills to be efficient. They are being efficient, but that is keeping their games closer through the first half. And the teams are basically attempting to keep the Bills from shootouts. Now, in the first two games of the season, Joe, the Bills were able to outgun their opponent in weeks 1 and 2, and week 3 they did not, right? It's about like number of possessions and too high safety looks, and the Bills are not going to get big plays on you. They're not going to beat you in the first half the way that they did last year. That's kind of the long and short of Warren Sharp's piece, at least, again, through three games.
Yeah, and also, you know, he had a lot of good numbers in here. Like, rate of too high safety coverage in the first half of games against Josh Allen is actually down from last season by 6 percentage points. First half drives, the Bills are running more plays, and a lot of that is because they're not gaining as many yards. Their third downs they face have gone down 2 yards So last year they were facing a third down, and this is in the first three games of the season. 6.9 yards to go last year. 4.9 yards to go this year. So there are more third and manageables, which you'll hear coaches talk about a lot. First down conversion rate on early downs, first and second down. The Bills are 11th in the NFL. They were 8th last year and 4th the year before that. What else does he have in here? Josh Allen's air yards. Is that maybe the one stat that he had in here that was the most drastic that changed? 5.5 air yards per attempt on early downs, first and second down for Josh Allen this year. That was 7.7 last year, 8 the year before that. And I think Warren was trying to get to, not that it's a problem maybe for the Bills, but that it's a change, and it's a Dorsey change. It's a Dorsey change from Brian Daboll. Even in his tweet when he's putting the story out, it's Daboll is this aggressive, knock him out early type of coordinator, and Dorsey's methodical and efficient. The word efficient kept getting thrown around. And before this piece, I guess the Miami game could have inflated this, right? It was 73 dropbacks or whatever it ended up being. So that's like two games worth of sample size where it was a lot of dump-offs. It was not a lot deep. We talked about that yesterday. So I guess I'm back and forth on whether to consider this a thing. But even if it's a thing, I might want to think that it's more of a personnel thing than it is a Dorsey thing.
Yeah, one number that I immediately looked up after reading this piece from Warren Sharp about the Bills was yards per attempt. And, you know, Josh Allen just threw for 400 yards in Miami, but, as we pointed out, 63 attempts. And if you were to just ask Family Feud style, Joe, 100 people on the street, where do you think the Bills rank in the NFL in yards per attempt? Where do you think the general population thinks they rank? Top five?
Top five.
Top 10?
Sure. Top 5 would be the number one answer.
They're 15th.
Middle of the road.
In yards per attempt, right. So all these dropbacks, and we know Josh Allen is very good. We know there are good weapons. But if you're looking at just straight yards per attempt in dropbacks this year, they are 15th. That is middle of the road. And that kind of struck me, right? Like it's not that far off from last year either. 2 years ago is where they were really dynamic in the passing game. And the last, I want to say last year and this year more so, they are becoming more of a efficiency, I guess. Like 2 years ago, they were 10th overall, you know, climbing a couple spots. And we'll probably have a lot of conversation about the offensive line today, about running. But the thing I'm thinking about is part of it's interwoven with the running game. Because James Cook is supposed to be the bridge to two things that we talked about. One, run the ball better, and two, team speed. I think it comes down to team speed. They didn't get faster in the offseason, other than James Cook, who doesn't play, and they can't really run the ball, so James Cook doesn't really show that speed in the run game. Mm-hmm. In the passing game, I was looking for Cook to be out on wheel routes and screens, and they're going to, you know, just use him in a lot of different ways. But If they can't run past guys, they've done it a couple times. You know, Davis and Diggs got deep, but Joe, I'm kind of getting my antenna up on the team speed point, which is something that we came into the offseason definitely talking about.
So is that, what does that make you think about immediately? Is that scheme? Is that Davis being hobbled, or are we? I think we're going to do this anyway, right? Trade deadline approaches, and isn't that the thing we're talking about? Getting faster.
Probably. I mean, the Bills signed Xavier Rhodes, so like...
Well, right, there's a move already, right?
That's one. That's out of, you know, sheer necessity because of all the injuries in the secondary, and we'll see how much he has left in the tank. But, yeah, I think we're going to be talking about either help on the offensive line or some version of team speed. You know, of course, the caveat's out there. Every single thing has to do with who you've played against, and maybe these three teams they've played against present difficult matchups in these ways, but... Yeah, I mean, the offense, we think of it as great because they rarely punt.
Yeah.
But if you don't punt a lot and you only have 7 drives in a game, I mean, you might want to punt twice and have 13 drives in a game. You know, we're going from failed drives to available drives almost.
Yeah. I'm trying to – I want to look up – because if their air yards are down here and their deep shots are down, which is being pointed out here in this piece by Sharp, and they're getting more third and manageables because there's more short routes over the middle and there's more dump-offs. There were certainly more dump-offs. 20 targets to running backs on Sunday against the Dolphins. And, like, James Cook, as we've talked about, hasn't been playing much. The couple times I noticed him, like, I saw the cover one guys breaking down a play that he had, which was just Allen drops back, the pressure's there immediately, quick out, swing pass to the running back, James Cook. And he immediately makes two guys miss and picks up 7 yards. And my thought process, that's the Bills' run game. That should be the Bills' run game. Yeah. And that's the player that I would want for that, is James Cook. Where are they in yak? Where are they in yards after catch? Because
I have the answer to this.
Okay.
The only problem is I don't have it per reception.
Okay.
Because they've passed so much. They are number, I think I saw they're number 2 in yak, which, oh, good. That's what Ken Dorsey wanted. But they have thrown basically 4 games worth of passes in 3 games.
Right. Right.
So
Justin Fields hasn't attempted as many passes as Allen did last Sunday.
Right.
So.
So I'll effort to find yak, but you know
here
what
we
this,
go. I've got it.
Okay.
I've got yards after catch per target, 24th in the NFL.
Okay, so the yak experiment is not yet working.
No, so like right, and that could have been a feasible explanation. Is okay? Yes, their air yards have gone down, but it's because all the talk of McKenzie and Crowder and James Cook, and we're going to get better at yards after catch. Then okay, there's your answer. But if that's not happening either, I still, a lot of this sounds like, are we worried about the passing game? Because for the most part, I'm still not at all worried about the passing game.
No, there's worried about it, and then there's staying on top. Let's be honest about the Dolphins passing game. We don't think it has the same kind of volume potential, but on efficiency, they were right there with the Bills on efficiency in week 3. Oh, well, they only hit that one big pass over the top. That counts, you know. The Bills hit a big pass to Diggs against the Rams and a big pass to Diggs against the Titans. Those plays count. And if they're using their team speed to get in spots where occasionally, you know, you make a mistake on a 3rd and 22 because you're too fast or they're too fast, the Dolphins are right there with efficiency. And if you go for, as I said, like just – We're yards per completion. Okay, so yards per completion for 2022.
Mm-hmm.
We're only 3 games in. I'm not saying the Dolphins are better in the passing game than the Bills. The Bills are 15th in yards per completion. Miami is 4th. Philadelphia 1, Baltimore 2.
Uh-huh.
Atlanta's in the top 5 here, yards per completion.
I think the Patriots are up there too, aren't they?
They are 6th.
Yeah,
now, some of this might be score effects.
Like, yeah.
Again, I think it's important to say, and I'm with you, I'm not expressing concern, but one thing that I'll do every single offseason, every single in-season, is say, how do you stay at the top? It's important you stay at the top. You know,
well,
like, go ahead.
I think this is going to become, even if it shouldn't, I feel like this is going to become a Dorsey conversation. And maybe that was going to happen the first time they lost, regardless, because he's new, he's a change at a job that will get calls about and it'll get conversation no matter who is in the position. Dable would get conversation over the years, even when there's no earthly way it was ever deserved. But we'd get a call once in a while, hey, Dable should be fired. Like, it would happen when they were number 2 in the league in total offense or something like that. So it's natural that you'll talk about the offensive coordinator, but I don't know if I want to add this for context to the point, but these stats, the Bills being middle of the road in yards per attempt, passing the football, they have been the worst run-blocking team, that Ben Baldwin chart from yesterday. They're not even really on the screen.
Yeah, it's pretty bad.
It's almost, you have to wonder if they just put the logo there just to have him there. Because, like, oh, we can't make the graphic any bigger, so let's at least put him here. So the run blocking has been pitiful through a couple of games. That's probably more injury related than anything. But then you've got the outburst. You've got the outburst in the booth. And I don't I don't indict him on that. I do not think that that is any part of the job for him and what good he does at it. But when Kyle Brandt calls it a tattoo for him, I don't know. Like I'm thinking about this game on Sunday, and if the Bills are struggling, I might even wonder, is he up there throwing papers around?
Yeah. Well, the tattoo point I think is right. Like it's a meme. I mean, it's a coffee meme now. It's a you know, HBO Max streaming has Frozen. This is my reaction meme. Like everybody's kind of turned the Ken Dorsey thing into, you know, whatever. He's a household name because of it, which is not exactly, you know, probably what he wants. I was listening to Josh talk with Kyle Brandt on his podcast yesterday, Kyle Brandt's Basement podcast. He talks to Josh every Tuesday. And Alan said that Dorsey, right after the game on the bus, showed him the video, like, check this out.
Yep.
And Dorsey basically said, like, I probably shouldn't have done that. But, you know, you're going to hear every Bills player to a man say that they appreciate it, they have no problem with it.
Yep.
You know, how they feel about him, how he feels about them, blah, blah, blah. Like, in which, you know, whatever. They're a team. I get that. I don't think it's a Dorsey thing. I don't. I think that he's been very good, good enough. Brian Daboll is very good to good enough. I tend to think that what it comes down to, maybe it's Gabe Davis missing for a game, but yeah. I want to see the McKenzie Cook element of this offense. That's what I want to see. I want to see it more. I want to see it used better. I want to see the Bills be not only Diggs, who does it all, and Davis, who is a big frame receiver, and Allen, who's the stud, who will run you over. I want to see the Bills look too fast for somebody, and that doesn't happen. They're just they're not a fast. They're not a very fast team. They're a very efficient team, and whether that's pace of play, aggressiveness in the first half, or flat out how fast do your players run, like I think that they could use.
Yeah,
I mean, this is why I wanted a receiver on the outside the whole offseason. I know they're not going to
get
Will Fuller, but Will Fuller to me was the answer to this. Get someone to pull the top off every play.
It's the one thing I'm jealous of Miami of.
Yeah,
well, I mean, maybe there's more than that, but like the first thing that would jump off is the speed is Jalen Watt. Like if Tua has 4 seconds to throw back there, like he did on 3rd and 22 on Sunday, Jalen Waddle's going to be open 50 yards down the field, and he's not Tyreek Hill. They have him. So if there's one thing I'm jealous of, they have a track team out there at wide receiver. And the Bills have guys that win deep. Diggs is one of the best deep receivers in football when he does it. You just don't want him only doing that, like Minnesota had him doing the last year he was there. And Gabriel Davis is not a burner, but he's led the Bills in deep receptions and deep targets and long touchdowns for the last 3 years. But he's not completely healthy right now, and I think what's evident, and he's not the same anyway. He's not back up. You know, safeties look at each other, take 5 steps back because this guy's on the field. The Bills don't have anything behind those two that I trust down the field. Like, who's the guy that's running 40 yards down the field? I mean, Kumerow did do this against Tennessee. There was one play where he did that, but I don't think of him that way. I don't think of Hodgins even, the guy in the practice squad that we'll get a call about once in a while. He's not that type of player. Marquez Stevenson might be the next guy in the team. We're like, oh, you just run him straight ahead and he can outrun the cornerback. And that's where I'm at. I'm at a kick returner on the practice squad.
Yeah.
I think I want to be looking at some point, all right, where can I find another guy like that? Because it does seem to be an element of this offense that is missing. But is it the whole story? No, it feels like it's a lot of things coming together. I'm with you, though, that I don't believe it's a Dorsey thing. I think it's more about their personnel, and it could be, again, they just played on the surface of the sun
right,
for four hours, and they couldn't run deep because if they ran more than 10 yards, they were going to Stephon Diggs and the Lebatard show. Full body yesterday. Full body cramps every other play.
He was two IVs at once, and he kind of joked. I don't think he was this far gone, but like he thought he was going to die.
Yeah.
He's like, this is it for me. This is it. I think that's a big part of it. Like, I don't think there's any panic, so you know, you'd have to call us and tell us we're panicking. They played two games worth of a game in one game on offense. So the short, efficient, do this passing set. The blitzes are coming, so he can't sit in the pocket that much. He's got to get the ball out as soon as he can. And it worked for a good chunk of that game, and to the tune of 497 yards of offense. So we'll see what answers they have. I mean, I think people want to see Khalil Shakir at some point, right?
Yeah.
He's a guy that was supposed to be fast, yards after catch potentially, and looked really nice in the preseason, came in with a ton of hype, and how many catches does he have? He's been inactive for two games. Was he active in the Titans game, or is he inactive all three?
He was active in the Titans game. I don't think he played more than a couple of snaps. Yeah. One of them was fourth down in the first quarter of the Bills' second drive. The play where Allen kind of scrambles right, and he kind of throws it almost like backyard football type style, and it hits a defensive lineman, and it like pops up into the air, but falls incomplete.
Okay.
I think Shakir like missed a block there, and I didn't see him again.
Gotcha.
So maybe he made a mistake there, and they pulled him. But yeah, like that a couple years ago, 2020, Gabe Davis was a fourth-round rookie that just showed up and like, hey, I could produce. And it would be a thing to emerge here if Shakir can kind of give them the same thing at any point during the season. And now that Kumerow's got this ankle injury, maybe he's going to get more run with the offense. 803-0550 is the phone number on all of this. The Bills' offense, down the field, the air yard stat and whatnot. We'll talk about a little bit more about the Dolphins today, I'm sure. How many power rankings did you look at yesterday?
Not that many. I did see Miami at the top of a lot of them.
Uh-huh.
And I saw that their coach was asked about, what's the message in the locker room now that you guys are number one in the power rankings? So Mike McDaniels had to talk about the power rankings.
Yeah. How I guess it depends also how you do power rankings. I really found a lot of that yesterday of, hey, I've got them. So I've looked up six different power rankings. Not, by the way, including Chopin Bulldogs reverse power rankings yesterday, which I think they had
the Bills number one.
They had the Bills number one. I think they had Miami fourth. Miami fourth. Kansas City two and Baltimore three. It depends how you do them because I found three power rankings where the Dolphins are listed number one. Bo Wolf from The Athletic, the Bleacher Report, like combined rankings that they all do, and then Sports Illustrated does the same thing where they have all their people vote, and the Dolphins were number one there as well. The Bo Wolf at The Athletic ones, one quote from the blurb about the Dolphins is, the Dolphins are probably not the best team in football.
Right, but
it's like they deserve it.
Everybody wants to reward them.
Right. So it's like, wait, what's the exercise, though? Are we trying to figure out, like, who the best... Isn't this who you think the best team is?
Yeah, I am a little inclined to respect that point, though.
Uh-huh.
Just because they've beaten New England, playoff team last year.
Yeah.
And...
The Ravens.
The Ravens would have been a playoff team last year. The Bills, playoff team last year. And especially if they go on the road and win in Cincinnati... Like going 4-0 in that stretch, you know, I want to go ahead and say, here, power rankings, I will officially shift them to, like the Premier League uses this, if a team is in form, right, Joe, you're a Premier League fan.
Sure, in form.
If you're in form, it means how are you playing right now? And I think Miami is in top form. Does that mean that they will end the season on top? Not necessarily, but especially if they win in Cincinnati. If they lose Cincinnati, I think it's explainable, it's a short week. Emotional game. They're still a good team, but if they go to 4-0 and beat Cincinnati and open into the easier part of their schedule, then yeah, I don't think I have any problem with somebody giving them the, hey, this team did something pretty impressive. Here's top spot in an internet article.
Yeah,
you know, like
that sounds a lot. So this is what happened with Tennessee last year, right? It was their resume. Like, well, if you look deeper within the games...
They beat the Bills, they beat the Chiefs,
yeah.
Right. You didn't necessarily think they were... But they did get the one seed.
They did, yeah.
And it's almost like the AFC was power-ranked to the Titans and gave them the one seed, and everybody thought, yeah, but they're not the one seed. They shouldn't be. And, of course, they lost in their opener.
Right.
I guess it depends on what you get out of power rankings. For me, they're designed sometimes to get reaction...
Sure.
I find it more interesting to look at the bottom almost always.
Okay.
Like, that's always good for me, watching New England at the bottom. Pittsburgh,
oh, yeah. They got to be high 20s right now, don't they?
Yesterday in ESPN, they were behind the Bears, which is, you know, I want more of that.
The Bears are 2-1.
Yeah.
But real quick on the Dolphins before we take a timeout. I guess this could have been a part of Bet It or Forget It, which is coming up at 8:30. But BetOnline has a bet. Actually, DraftKings is the same bet. Which week will the Dolphins lose their first game? So the Bengals are the favorite. Obviously, they're 4-point underdog in that game. That line's been moving around. I'll have to double-check. But the Bengals game is the favorite, minus 195. Then week 5 at the Jets is plus 550. Then the Vikings at plus 650. The fourth option on which week will be the Dolphins' first loss is week 10 or later. Like, the field, basically. Like, they'll make it to 10-0 is the fourth most likely option, according to the odds, for the Dolphins.
Yeah, I wouldn't expect that.
No, and, like, I know they have a lot of easy games, but Steelers, Lions, Bears, I think, are the other three games in there. But anyways, 803-0550 is the phone number to get in on the show. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase here on WGR. And we remind you to check out the Labatt Blue Light Game Day Sweeps, your chance to win 2 Toyota Club passes to a Bills home game, spend a quarter in the WGR broadcast booth with Steve Tasker and Eric Wood and more. Go to WGR550.com to enter. Must be 21 or older. No purchase necessary.
I'm putting up a Twitter poll. You let me know if these are the right answers. No one's in panic mode yet, right? No one's in panic mode.
No.
If they lose in Baltimore, here's the options. Full panic, mild panic, sampling panic, or no panic. If they lose in Baltimore, how much do things change?
All right, we'll get into that when we come back. The Ravens game coming up on Sunday. We'll talk more about the Ravens, by the way. Sean Stepner from ABC in Baltimore coming up at 9 o'clock. Guests before that, Sal Capaccio at 7, Joe Marino from Locked On Bills and the Draft Network at 8, and then we'll have Bet It or Forget It at 8:30. We'll talk about this Ravens poll when we come back. I put a poll up that we talked a lot about in the Extra Point Show yesterday that I wanted to get to, too, before we completely exit Miami's talking point for the rest of the day. Joe DiBiase, Jeremy White here on WGR.
I'm so proud of those guys. I mean, the way they battled, just the nature of the game for a group like that, having to play 90 plays, you know, plus plays in a game, you know, and guys like Dion and Roger playing every single snap of that game and having 17 play drives, 20 play drives, and staying out there and doing it and giving each guy next to them everything they've got.
It's Ken Dorsey. Couple quotes of the day, Joe, from the guys. You know, post-Miami game, we're getting everyone's thoughts. Josh Allen said it was hard to breathe.
Yep.
That's tough.
Stephon Diggs apparently now has a picture of him with the double IVs. Yep.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
It's time for MLB Pitch, Hit, and Run, the official youth skills competition of Major League Baseball. Host a local event and give kids in your community a chance to compete in the Pitch, Hit, and Run finals at the 2024 MLB World Series. Sign up for free at pitchhitrun.com.
Yeah, he asked the training staff to do that for him, take a picture. Yeah, it was a battle for everybody. And I think that's a good answer for Dorsey. Like, he's in the booth. It's probably air-conditioned. Right?
Yes. Well, you never know. The Dolphins, could they get away with, guys, the AC's broken?
Yeah, that's right. Probably. Yeah. You might be right about that. But he's sitting up there in the booth and calling plays and doing what he can. And I'm sure the 20-play drives, maybe they're not frustrating for him, but he's thinking, we got to get in, got to get in here. Come on, got to get in. And then to fall short and think, we had 90 plays. I asked these players to do 90 plays.
Yeah.
It's like when you shoot your age in golf. You shoot a 87 when you're 87. The Bills almost had as many plays as degrees on the field. Like,
yeah,
he must have been devastated. So I get that the conditions probably made it even worse, that he thought, look at what these guys are going through, and we're not going to win this game.
Yeah, and I don't know if it's his hometown or not, but, you know, it's Miami, right? Like, it's where he played college football, And I have to imagine he wanted that badly because of who the opponent was and where the game was. What would the golf comparison be for him? It's like you, because it was so fluky, right? Like, and he has to think it was fluky. He has to think, how did we not win that game? How, like, we were the better team. How did we not win that game? It'd be like, I don't know, you're trying to break 80 for the first time, and you hit it off the pin, and it rolls and off the green
into the water. Yeah.
Like, that would be the golf equivalent. Like, it's just acts of God, basically, that prevent you from winning. Which, by the way, is the Bills' last two division losses, probably. Acts of God. 803-0550 is the phone number. Let's get to your poll here. No one in panic mode yet. If the Bills lose in Baltimore, four options. Full panic, mild panic, sampling panic, no panic. I voted sampling panic.
Yeah.
No, I mean, panic is the leader, though, at 42.3%. It's too early. It's too early, and I'm not sure everyone that voted, and I'm not even sure you mean this to be a part of the equation because of the kind of the what the conversation will bring about with the poll, but part of it for me is the weather.
Right.
Part of it for me is it's acts of God, and like it will get maybe like here's the Bills fans complaining about the weather again, but if they lose in a downpour and they can't throw the football because nobody can throw the football, and it's just kind of a dumb game that whoever fumbles the ball less is going to be the team that wins, and it's 20-17. I don't know. I'm not going to want to be sitting here a week from now making any indictment about what they are.
Other than the bigger picture of if they can't run the ball, which that would be something that in a spot like this, if the weather is how it is, I mean, Baltimore has this same problem. They can't run the ball either. So I've got two AFC contenders with two MVP quarterbacks that might be taken apart by weather that will likely turn to running the ball a little more, and neither of them can do it.
Right. So Ravens can't do it either.
No. So that might be a strange, like, how do you feel about it after that? You know, with Baltimore, I one of the things I think about Baltimore, Joe, is Lamar's on track to win the MVP. He's the MVP favorite right now. He has passed Allen. Allen's number two. But the start that Lamar's got off to this year is an MVP pace. And one of the things I wonder about Lamar, he is consistently, I think you would agree with this, consistently overlooked. Because if you talk best quarterbacks, you go to Allen, Herbert, Mahomes, and
then you start thinking about the fourth guy.
Right. And Lamar is not put in that group with those top three. If he wins a second MVP, doesn't he have to pass one of them?
Isn't it arguable that he should be above Herbert right now?
Yes. Yeah, it definitely is. Yes, you could make a case he should be above Herbert. If he wins a second MVP,
and
he wins playoff games and goes to an AFC championship game, do you make the case that he passes Allen?
Well, I'm sure there will be some of that out there. I guess I got to see how it looks like, but let's guess at how it would look like. What they look like right now, you went back and forth with Nate and others on Twitter the other day about Josh Allen's usage being too high, like 85% or whatnot. Lamar's higher. Right, it's the highest in the league.
Yep.
So, like, I shouldn't even really couch it as, well, it depends how it would look. If they're going to the AFC Championship game, it's probably because he's putting a cape on and just carrying them all the way there.
Yeah. Yeah, their defense is not good.
No.
Right?
No, they're like last in the league, I think, in yards per play allowed. Or if they're not last, they're one of the worst teams. And right, like you said, like Justice Hill leads their running back group in rushing with 80 yards through three games. So
yeah, I mean, he's been incredible. He's been incredible passing the ball. That's a big part of it.
Yep.
And it would be so weird to see a guy potentially win his second MVP and still be overlooked. But I think it's possible that could still be the case.
Well, because the playoffs will be huge for him, because Allen does not get this, especially now.
Because he's had perfect games in the playoffs.
He's had perfect games in the playoffs, and when he lost, he got no blame for it.
Yep, he's been amazing.
Yeah.
And Lamar, in the playoffs, his first year, they're a one seed, and they lose their first game.
Yes, they lost the first game in 18 is that the Titans?
Yep. They lost to the Chargers.
Yeah.
I think that's who it is, the Chargers. Derwin James.
I've got him at 1-3 in playoff games.
They lost to the Chargers. They beat the Titans. They were down 10-0, that would have been 2 years ago because last year they didn't make the playoffs. So they beat the Titans, lost to the Chargers, lost to
the Bills.
The Bills, of course, in a game where he was not really impressive, but neither was Allen that day.
No, there was windy, right?
Yeah, it was windy. It was a playoff game with two good defenses.
Yeah, he was right there, right? He actually, I remember, because there was a tweet of mine that went viral. Like, would be a great time right now for Lamar Jackson's first career red zone interception, and it did happen there. But he was 5 yards away from
tying the game.
And Taron Johnson, actually, if you remember that play, like, he's not even supposed to be there. Like, he comes off the man he's covering, and that's not, I'm not trying to absolve Jackson completely of that play, but it's a little fluky. They've had injuries. My bigger problem with them in the playoffs has been they don't throw the ball enough, but that's different about them right now. They have never been where they are right now in neutral situation pass rate. Like, they're one of the pass happiest teams in football. And maybe that's by necessity because they can't turn around and hand it off to anybody. But to me, it's not a coincidence that they can't turn around and hand it off to anybody, and they're top of the league in scoring, top of the league in yards per play, and they look like one of the most unstoppable offenses in football. And it's not, he's got the yardage this year rushing, but they're not running it with him a crazy amount. 26 carries through 3 games. We talk about Allen and how much usage he gets. A lot of that ends up being the rushing attempts, right? And he'll never make it to February. And there's Colin Cowherd comparing him to Cam Newton and how many hits he took. And the body's going to be broken down by age 32. And that, maybe that ends up happening. Allen has 449 rushing attempts for his career. Lamar Jackson is sitting on 641.
Yeah.
641. Like, he's actually playing better from the... Better. He's always been pretty good. He's playing better from the pocket right now.
Yeah, for sure. Well, there are two games Sunday matching up 2-1 teams. Do you know the other? Oh, I'm sorry, there are three games. There are three games. Bills, Ravens.
This is a trick question because the Bears are involved in one of them.
I don't know that counts as a trick question.
No, it's not a trick. Like, but you wouldn't think of them. Oh, like two good teams.
Well, here are the three games between 2-1 teams. Bills, Ravens, Chiefs, Bucks, and then Bears, Giants. And here's your stat of the day on Bears, Giants. Because I saw this from Pat Thorman had this stat, and he is with, I think, Establish the Run. Yes.
Okay.
So the Bears and Giants play on Sunday, and man, if you want to see, if you don't believe in time travel, step into Bears Giants, you are in the 30s. And here's why. Pat Thorman pointed out the Giants have two times as many pass attempts as the Bears.
Wow. Okay.
Wait,
that's already kind of amazing, but go ahead.
There's a second part of this. The Giants have twice as many pass attempts as the Bears. The Giants rank 26th in pass attempts. Think about that.
They're
twice as many, and they're in 26th place.
They're in 26th. That's a Bears stat. That's
what's the under? Is the over under 26?
I mean,
I gotta pull it up.
Shouldn't it be record low?
It should be. And is there going to be weather?
Could it be? There's hurricanes everywhere right now.
Everybody
in the world,
that goes to this game should be. There should be a mass fan organized flash mob. Hey, we're all going to wear trench coats and hats and convince the world that we've all stepped back into the 30s.
Yeah, the over under in that game is 39.
39. You don't see
still want the under.
Right. You don't see him go lower than 38.5, and that's usually teams like this or a rainstorm. What's the Bills over under right now?
The Bills over under is 52.
52.
That's not really accounting for the weather.
No, I feel like we might get on that.
I think, but I'm just betting on downpour, right?
Yeah.
And I don't know. Well, because what? Maybe.
Well, if it's not windy,
and
the Bills put up
that.
40 points in a downpour against the Texans.
The Ravens put up 40 on the Bills in a downpour in the opener 4 years ago, right?
Yeah,
the Peterman 40, game,
47-3.
Yeah, and part of that was the Bills didn't get a first down for three quarters, but, 52 is the over under for Bills and Ravens. Yeah, the Bears 45 pass attempts for Fields. Allen had 63.
Hey,
last Sunday,
either the Bears or the Giants are about to be 3-1. Show me them in a power ranking in the top 10 somewhere.
Oh, the could anyone do it with the Bears? The Giants, I'm sure. Like, I could. New coach, and I guess the Bears are a new coach too. But.
The Bears and Giants, one of them, whoever goes to 3-1, that is definitely a Bills drought season, right? Like, 3-1, and everybody tweets out the standings, and everybody looks like, yeah, you guys, you're not good.
Well, in that conference too, right? Like, who's good in that conference right now? Like, we talk so much about the AFC, obviously, because the Bills are in it.
Yeah, and the Eagles are good, and the Packers are good.
Oh man, even that. I mean, it was the Bucs D, but offensively they do not look. They don't look competent. In three games, they have one good performance offensively, and it was against Chicago.
Yeah, I think that's going to come around. With they've got young receivers with Rodgers, and it's starting to hit. And it was the Bucs, and they fumbled at the one into the end zone on one play.
Yeah,
I think it's the Packers and the Eagles, and that's it.
Yeah, the Niners looked horrible against the Broncos. The Rams look weird. Might be
weird.
The word for it.
I like that. They're weird.
They're weird. The Cowboys are treading water without Prescott. That pass rush. The Cowboys will be.
Oh my God! The Cowboys have to be on this list.
They have to. Yeah. Like they might not be complete of a team, and they use Zeke Elliott way too much. He had more carries than Pollard on Sunday, but 40
their pass
fewer
rush
yards
is better than the Bills.
Yeah, it's the best in the league.
The only team that's better than the Bills in pass rush, and Micah Parsons is like just a freak.
Yeah, Cowboys are good. I think I'm confident saying the Cowboys are good. They're getting Michael Gallup back here, so they'll have a better receiving core too. 803-0550 is the phone number. Jeremy's poll: what's your level of panic mode if the Bills were to lose to the Ravens on Sunday? I still got a Dolphins question to get to. Talk a little bit maybe about Dolphins and Bengals, which is tomorrow night, but we'll do more of that tomorrow,
and
I'm sure.
We got to get to, with Sal, the offensive line in the run game. What answers are out there? The Bills are the worst team in the league in terms of offensive linemen winning their blocks. Worst. Worst PFF grade, worst win rate. What can they do about it?
Yep. We'll have Sal coming up at 7 o'clock. By the way, join Jeremy along with Atwal Eye Care at their LASIK and LAGER event on Tuesday, October 4th, 5 to 7 p.m. at Highmark Stadium. Get your LASIK questions answered and enjoy free giveaways by Atwal. Space is limited. Pre-register at atwaleye.com.
I just had a devilish thought, Joe. You ready for this?
A devilish thought.
Yeah, sometimes I think of questions and I laugh at the conversation we're about to have. And I think you might appreciate it too. So there's chatter that the Bucs and Chiefs game could be moved because the Hurricane's going to hit Tampa.
Yep.
And potential, where could the game move? There are a couple sites.
Yep.
One is Miami, but the NFL does not want to use the game in Miami. And that's because the NFL, according to Jenna Lane of ESPN, does not want to risk taking up state resources hosting a game in Miami when the state might be needing to help with aftermath of a hurricane in Tampa.
Okay.
So they don't want to do Miami. The other options are Minneapolis.
Yeah, I've seen that a lot.
And maybe New Orleans. Now, if it's New Orleans, that is not a far drive for Kansas City fans. Like, I think it's 6.5 hours.
Uh-huh.
Minnesota is 6.5 hours away for Chiefs fans.
I was going to say, Kansas City to New Orleans has got to be further than that.
A little bit. But if it's in New Orleans, Saints fans could go and root against Brady and the Bucs, right? Because that's a division opponent. They'd be like, if the Dolphins played here, we could go and root, just cheer against them.
Right.
So my question is, if it were moved to Buffalo, who would you root for?
I mean, the obvious response is a tie or everything to go wrong. You probably...
Who? Everybody, search your soul. Search your soul and answer with conviction. Would you root for Mr. Tom Brady or the Kansas City Chiefs?
So, before I answer... Do you remember who you would have rooted for in the Super Bowl 2 years ago? Or I imagine you just watched it and didn't root, or maybe didn't watch it. 100%
I would have rooted for the Chiefs.
Okay.
Would never even blink.
But remember, that is the Super Bowl. Now...
That's right.
Oh, well, you're not Mr. One Seed guy. Because for me, like, that's my dilemma. I got to root for Brady, or I got to root for, all right, this is better for home field against Mahomes in the playoffs, and it's more likely. Just, I think because of that, I think I've just got to try to swallow that horse-sized pill and just root for the Bucs to win 16-10.
Not like a pill that's the size of a pill a horse takes, but this pill is actually the size of a horse.
It's the size. You have to eat it with a fork and knife. Yeah,
right.
I think I'm rooting for the Bucs. I'm kind of mad you even made me answer the question, though.
I know. You know my
answer. It is a devilish thought.
It's not even hard for me.
Chiefs?
Oh, I'm rooting for the Chiefs all day. Not even hard. The Bills can beat the Chiefs and just go ahead and take the one seed. The idea of going to a stadium and rooting for Tom Brady to win.
Uh-huh.
I mean, come on. I feel like the crowd would show up, and then they would put a stat on the Jumbotron that says, you know, Tom Brady has won 26 games in this stadium.
Yeah.
And the crowd would see that and immediately be like, oh, yeah, and start swearing. Like, no.
What you should get is the crowd showing up and just being as loud as possible while both offenses are on the field. It'd be like a marathon for Bills fans of just be as loud, hit the back of the benches, whatever. Well, both quarter, Mahomes on the field and when Brady is on the field.
It would be gross.
I'm guessing Buffalo's not a real option for that. Just a hunch.
No, it's going to be
Minneapolis or New Orleans.
Minneapolis or New Orleans.
All right.
Well, New Orleans is, by the way, either one is tough for Tampa. They're about to lose a home game.
Yeah.
And if you're the Chiefs, you are at worst getting neutral site.
And Tampa, remember, already is losing a home game, I believe, because they're playing in Germany this year?
That's right. Yep.
So this is two home games they're losing this year.
And it'll be another example of Tom Brady looking himself in the mirror and saying, why did I come back?
Yes. Well, let's sell this question. We'll get more on the Bills' O-line and the run game. We have not spent a lot of time on that today. We'll do that with Sal. And also Xavier Rhodes, free agent, veteran cornerback, maybe was actually better than people thought while he was in Indianapolis, and obviously a former All-Pro with the Vikings. He is signing with the Bills, according to Tom Pelissero. Get Sal's thoughts on that as well when we return. Jeremy White, Joe DiBiase here on WGR.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Listen to every MLB game live.
In the deep left center field, it is high, it is far, it is gone.
Stream minor league affiliates.
The Midwest League home run leader.
And watch the best baseball highlights and look-ins on MLB Big Inning. MLB At Bat is your all-in-one live baseball subscription for only $3.99 per month.
Deep left field, it's gonna go! Alvarez ties the game!
Subscribe to At Bat within the MLB app today. Major League Baseball trademarks used with permission.